Okay, so we come to communion now. And I don't know about you, but the communion table, every time I come to it, it can mean something different. I see a revelation comes and I see a perspective of God and the meaning of it, which changes. And it speaks to me in a new way, in a fresh way. How can it be that the same thing is so different? It's so deep. And this evening, what I'd like us to do is come to the table and see it as a place of freedom. A place of freedom. A place where deliverance has taken place and we are free. A communion table that we partake in began at what we know of as the Last Supper. But even before that, it began back at Passover. So we go back a couple of thousand years ago to the Israelites. Now we know that the Israelites are this nation that has been formed and created, and God's delight is upon them, God's blessing is upon them. He has created them, and they are to be blessed, they are to be a great nation, and they are to be a blessing. And God was to be their God, and they were to be his people, and the nations around would come, and they would see, and they would go, wow, who is your God? So at the point in the story where we pick it up, at this first Passover, these beloved people of God find themselves living in Egypt. Now you would think that this would be, they would go, this is the Lord's plan. This is God's will for us to be here. Because they arrived in Egypt because of a famine in the land that they were in, and there was food in Egypt. So God answered their prayers, and a plan had been set in motion, so they went to Egypt, and there was food, and they lived. They stayed there, and they prospered, because their numbers grew. Because they were a blessed nation, their numbers grew. The problem is that their numbers grew so incredibly that the Pharaoh of the land looked upon them as a threat. Who were these people that were living in his town? And so the only way that he could see to control them was regarding their working conditions. And he made it really hard, and he made it really difficult for them. He removed resources from them, but made them work harder. He made them work longer hours and for less money. It was painful. It was really, really hard for them. So you can imagine that the Israelites are going, what's going on? Hold on a moment. We thought that this was part of God's plan, but it's not. You're calling us a blessed nation, but we are anything but that. Did your plan go wrong, God? God, where are you even in all of this? And in their pain and dissatisfaction, they cry out to God. God had not gone anywhere. God was there and he heard their cries and he responds to them. Now the story of Exodus tells us of the raising up of Moses, who God would use to deliver the people out of Egypt into the promised land, into the land flowing with milk and honey. But much was to take place before this happened. And we can read about it in the book of Exodus. But there is this one distinct meal, one distinct moment, which has become known as the Passover meal. So about this meal, there were a lot of rules, the things that they could do and couldn't do, who could and couldn't partake in it. And there was this thing where what they had to do is take the animal that they were to eat, but they were to take the blood of it and put it over the lintels, over the doorways. It's a little bit strange, isn't it? But these were the instructions. There were a whole lot of instructions that they had to follow. And so they did. And then the thing was that this meal was to become known as the celebration meal. And it must have been really strange because, again, what was there to celebrate? They were admittedly in the middle of the whole story at this point, because there had already been all these plagues that had gone on. That was all part of the plan to hopefully soften Pharaoh's heart, to allow them to get out. But it just seemed like they'd take one step forward and there'd be five steps back. It's like, where are you, God, in all of this? Yet, God was saying, prepare yourself for this meal. And not only did they have to prepare what was in front of them, but they had to prepare themselves. They had to be dressed, ready to leave. They had to have their bags packed, their coats on, and they had to eat their meal like that. I don't know if you've ever eaten a meal with the expectancy to leave really quickly. There's nothing relaxing about it at all. And then they were told to take note of what's going on, because this is a celebration meal. And they're like, well, what are we celebrating? Because we haven't actually got what we're celebrating yet. Are you going to deliver us? Are you going to take us out of the land? But okay, we'll do this. We will do this. And we know, because we read the story, that God does allow them to go out. Moses leads the people out, and they are delivered out of captivity. And they walk through those waters and eventually into freedom. And it was brought about by God's mighty hand. And his power and authority was made known to everybody who experienced it and everybody who watched it. And then the retelling of that great event became an annual celebration of the goodness and of the faithfulness of God to his covenant and to his people. And so we come to the Passover meal that Jesus is celebrating with his disciples, the one that we know as the Last Supper. And the disciples are all sitting around the table, and they are celebrating. So they're thinking about all the things that God has done in the past. It's quite a formal thing. There's a lot of singing and a lot of chanting that goes on, and some eating as well. Now they're spending time with Jesus, remembering how God had done this amazing thing all the way back in the time of Pharaoh. But they've also been with Jesus, and they've been hearing him talk about a new way of living and a new kingdom. And I imagine that they're sitting there at the table with this hope and expectation that the man, Jesus, was going to be the one who would deliver them, literally, from the rule and oppression of the Roman Empire. That Jesus would rise up and lead them out into the freedom. And indeed, Jesus would do this, but it wouldn't be how they were thinking. And it's at this time that Jesus takes the bread and he gives thanks for it and he breaks it. And he says, take me, this is my body broken for you. And then he takes the cup and he says, this is the blood. No, I'm going to have to read it. Sorry about this. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And they took these emblems with hope. He's the one. We've heard the story of what took place before. He's the one who's going to lead us out. Now, the freedom that Christ gave to them and gives to us is offered to all humanity, which came through his death and resurrection, is the freedom from sin and death, from eternal separation from God. All of us at one point realized that we had been held captive due to our sins. We were anything but free. We may not have used that language. I certainly did not say that. But what I did know was that I needed saving. I needed a savior. I needed saving from something into something. I needed Jesus. We need Jesus, the one who will save us and keep on saving us. Jesus, empowered by the Spirit of God, which raised him from the dead, brought our freedom and brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of God in which we now live in. Eternal salvation and freedom is ours because of Jesus. Although we have been saved from eternal separation from God, and we only need to have that done once, Christ continues to save us every day of our lives. And I don't know about you, but this truth brings me hope. There is so much more for us to experience in our lives with Christ. He desires that we would experience an abundant and effective Spirit-filled life. And because His Spirit is with us, we know that freedom is available to us. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So this table for us tonight, which holds the emblems that we use to remember Jesus, still represents for us deliverance from captivity into freedom through Jesus. And so we can approach the table with hope and faith. Now we know God and we love Him, yet we may not be experiencing the abundant and Spirit-filled life that God has planned for us. While life may be good, it may be okay. Gosh, we're not like those Israelites who were living under such physical oppression. We may feel that life isn't as we would be hoping. We kind of feel like that we're being held back, that there are obstacles in our way. Maybe, to use this terminology, we feel like we're being held captive by certain things, even after all this time of knowing God. It might be where our thoughts consume us, where we've been thinking what ultimately become lies in comparison to God's truth. And we find it so hard to stop thinking this way when we know the truth and the goodness of God here. We might find ourselves incapacitated by fear. Fear of what other people will think if I do something, or what if I say something, or what if I speak up about something. Or maybe doubt weighs us down. And it weighs us down so much that faith is really hard to rise up. Sometimes maybe anger might override reason, and we find that we've said or done things that, oh gosh, we so shouldn't have done. Or maybe we haven't said anything, but we have this feeling, this anger that is just brimming below the surface, festering away. Or maybe it's where we experience insecurity, which can overwhelm us, or loneliness, which isolates us. We may wrestle with lust for money and possessions, for power, recognition, for sex, for food. Maybe we're being held ransom by our feelings of bitterness and disappointment and our hurts, anxiety. We're free, but we're not. We're not living in the fullness of freedom that Christ has planned for us. But it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He has plans and purposes for our lives, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. As we just sang before, He stands before us with arms open wide, and forgiveness is ours, and freedom is ours. He is ever willing, and He is ever desiring to lead us into a deeper and greater relationship with Him, and a deeper and greater freedom in Him. Christ sets us free by the power of the Spirit, and He knows that we can't maintain our freedom on our own, and so He gives us His Spirit to empower us. And it's His Spirit living within us that enables us to experience and to walk out this freedom that is ours. The invitation is that we would respond to Him, that we would walk towards Him, that we would open the door of our hearts to Him, that we would embrace Him, welcoming Him into our lives and into those places where we need Him, and together walk into our freedom. I don't know what it will require from us or look like to walk and experience the freedom of God that He has for each of us. But I do know from my own experience, past and present, that it does require something. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's the dissatisfaction or it's the pain that we're experiencing that causes us to cry out to God. And we go, is this the plan? Is this the good thing that you have for us? This is not the abundant life. What's going on? And again, it means that I need to acknowledge my need of Jesus. Once again, I need him. And when that happens, then that strange thing happens that when I kind of get to the end of myself and I say, I need you, then suddenly hope begins to rise. It's kind of like, yeah, I need Jesus. And I see my problems and the obstacles that I'm facing in light of God. And I'm like, hello, you know, there is no comparison. So hope begins to rise, which means that faith begins to rise, because faith is being certain of what I hope for, but sure of what I do not yet see. I'm reminded that God does have a plan for my life. He has good plans. And he plans to prosper me, to prosper my soul, that I would flourish. There is hope for me. There are purposes. There's a purpose over my life. I may not see it. The clouds might be blocking it a bit, but there is purpose for me. And that means that I have an expectation of something good coming. Something good is happening. It means too that it requires a bit of effort and intentionality from me as well. While I may be looking at my obstacle and not looking at God, I need to avert my eyes and I need to look at God. I need to lean into him. I need to look to his word and what does his word say. And then I need to trust him at his word. And I need to trust that the Spirit is moving and working and doing what needs to be done in my life. I don't know what's going on in your life that might cause you to cry out to God. Is this it? Is this your plan? Where are you? What is this all about? Or I thought I'd dealt with this. Or even if I'm on this journey, I'm in the journey to freedom, and I'm so tired, how much longer? I don't know what keeps you from experiencing the freedom that Christ has set you free for, but I do know that God hears the cries of our heart. And I know that he has made a way for us in and through and with Jesus. I pray that tonight, as we come to the table and we receive these elements and remember what Jesus has done for us through his life and death and resurrection, that we would take a moment to consider the freedom that he offers to us, that he offers to you. His desire is that we would be free to experience life with him, with all that he has to offer, his presence in our lives, his peace in our lives, his power in our lives, where we find deep, I love this, deep and lasting satisfaction in him, that we would know him and that we would believe him and that we would glorify him. Let's pray. Lord, you know our lives, you know our hearts, you know our deep need of you as Lord and Savior. We thank you that you have plans for each of our lives, plans for us to prosper, plans for us to flourish. You have hope over us. There is a future for us. Father, you know what might be some of the obstacles that we face, some of the situations that we find ourselves in that stop us experiencing the fullness of the life that you have for us. I pray that as we open our hearts to you, you will come and meet with us. and that you will speak life and truth and hope to our weary and tired souls. Oh, Spirit, pray that you would come and fill us once more. Lead us and guide us and strengthen us for this journey into freedom. For our good and for your glory, we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And as they do, for us to take a moment, an opportunity to sit with God, an opportunity to thank Him for all that He has done, for all that He is doing, and for what He is going to do. And I pray that as you sit and you bring before Him the things that you need to bring before Him, I pray that hope will rise. I pray that faith will rise. I pray for expectation to rise. It's His desire that we would experience an abundant and effective Spirit-filled life. And the Spirit is here with us, so we know that freedom is in this place. Freedom is ours to take hold of. Freedom is ours to live in. He desires to walk with us and to be with us, to take that journey with us. It's His delight to do that. It's His delight that we would walk into the plans and the purposes that He has for us. And then when you're ready, I encourage you to come and take these emblems. Take them back to your seat.